Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good evening, welcome, and thank you for listening to a very special edition of the Sporting KC Show this week. I'm Carter Augustine, and you may hear Nate Bucati in the background as we are just about ready to get started here from the Fan Forum, live from No Other Pub down in Power and Light. It's going to be a really exciting show with Nate running the show, and they're going to be taking fan questions all night long for first President and CEO Jake Reed of Sporting Kansas City, and then a trio of players that you'll be really excited to hear from, Matt Beasler, Johnny Russell, and Daniel Shallowy, all coming down here to No Other Pub. And there's still some time if you're in the area to get on down here. There's room available to, just barely room available, I should say, as it's starting to fill up now. But just some room to come and be a part of this fan forum and submit your questions and hear directly from these three players and Jake Reed themselves about basically everything and anything. I think it's going to be a very wide open and wide-ranging discussion here this evening at No Other Pub in this year's fan forum. Once again, Nate Bucati will be running the show, and we'll be covering it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as he chats with Jake Reed, Matt Beasler, Johnny Russell, and Daniel Shallowy. Should be a really exciting event here tonight. So stay tuned as we'll have more coming live from the Fan Forum at No Other Pub. It's a Sporting KC Show. We'll be right back as we're about ready to kick things off with Jake Reed, President and CEO of Sporting Club from the Fan Forum. Welcome back to the Sporting Kansas City Show. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. As once again, I am Carter Augustine, and it's a special edition of the Sporting KC Show here this evening. I don't have Nate Bucati alongside me because he is buzzing around the stage here at No Other Pub. We're getting ready to bring you live the Fan Forum 2018 for Sporting Kansas City. Should be a really exciting evening as President and CEO Jake Reed about ready to take the stage. Meanwhile, Matt Beasler, Johnny Russell, and Daniel Shallowy, the headliners, making their way through No Other Pub at the moment, and they'll be on in just about 20, 30 minutes or so. So stay with us as we'll bring you coverage of this entire event here this evening. Limited commercial interruptions as well, as it's going to be wire to wire here. Really is a fun event. So if you have the ability to get yourself down to Power and Light and get into No Other Pub, still a little bit of time left before Jake Reed goes on stage. And if you don't make it for Jake Reed, then I think you'll be able to make it for Matt Beasler, Johnny Russell, and Daniel Shallowy for sure. As, once again, they'll be answering fan questions throughout the evening. So I'm expecting a plethora of different topics. These things can get wacky. They can get really serious. I'm really looking forward to it. Of course, Sporting KC coming off a tough one this past weekend, losing in New England to the Revolution by a score of 1-0 on a very strange video review play where it appeared as though Teal Bunbury was flagged offside. He kind of poked the ball into an empty net, and in the end they went to review and saw that the last touch was ruled to have come off Roger Espinosa, so they gave the goal just before halftime as well. And Sporting Kansas City had their 7-game unbeaten streak snapped by the Revolution. It's been a tough place to play out in Foxborough for the Sporting KC side, but they'll look to get back on the winning end this weekend as they host Colorado Rapids for a nice Cinco de Mayo game day. So that will be a lot of fun. Of course, they've already played the Rapids away this season, and now they will play them at home. But more on that later as we're just about ready to start here from the Fan Forum, live from No Other Pub in Power and Light. Nate Bucati about ready to take the stage, and his first guest will be Jake Reed, president and CEO of Sporting Club. You'll be hearing a lot of fan questions, questions coming in from social media. It will be a really wonderful evening of discussion about all things Sporting Kansas City. As Nate Bucchetti about ready to take the stage here at No Other Pub for this year's Sporting KC Fan Forum.
Ready to get this thing started? All right, ah, come on, give me some energy here. You guys ready to get this thing started? There we go. All right. Once again, I want to welcome everybody to the 2018 Sporting Kansas City Fan Forum. My name is Nate Bucchetti. Very excited to be here tonight. We've got a great program coming up. And want to remind you to raise your hands for the questions that you have. We have microphones in the crowd. We want to make sure that we get the questions on the microphones. We're carrying this on Facebook Live and on Sports Radio 810 WHB as well. So thanks to our viewers on Facebook Live and those of you listening on Sports Radio 810 right now as well. We will be taking as many questions from the audience as we possibly can. Also be taking some Facebook Live questions as well as the night goes on. So without further ado, let's welcome our first guest to the stage here. He is the president and CEO of Sporting Kansas City. He was recently named Top 40 Under 40 Sports Executive by the Sports Business Journal in the United States of America. And he's much taller than me. Of course, that doesn't say much. Everybody is. But it is Jake Reed, ladies and gentlemen.
How are we doing? Am I live? I'm good.
How are you?
I mean, I started my day with you. Now I'm going to end the day with you, so it's a great day.
You're a lucky man, and there's no doubt about that. You nervous about this Cavs game coming up?
I'm a little bit nervous about the Cavs game, but more nervous about the questions.
More nervous about the questions game, from the audience. Good. Well, let's get it going. If you guys have questions for Jake, make sure to put your hands up. We're going to get as many as we can in here, but I'll start off with you quickly, Jake. Just maybe you tell me what excites you right now most about the direction of the club, be it this season, be it overall. What are you most excited about with Sporting Kansas City right now?
I feel like the group's just really come together. You never know in the offseason. I think you do your research on the guys you bring in, and you can evaluate as much as you can about how they're going to mesh. But I think when Johnny gets up here, he's fit in like he's been here for 5 years with the guys. Felipe, obviously, some unfortunate news today on the surgery, but I think he fits in exceptionally well. And I'm not talking about on the field. I think you guys have seen what they've done, but just from a culture standpoint, it's been fun. It's a good group. They're very tight, and I think they're very motivated to have a great year. So that's exciting.
I'm going to open this up for questions right away to the audience.
First of all, thank you all for coming out tonight, by the way. I love these events. I think anytime I can sit here and answer the questions, and I'll answer anything. We may not agree on the answer to give you, but I appreciate you coming out. So I'll answer anything and everything. Fire away.
Okay, we've got a question right here.
Son? Okay. When did you know that Felipe was going to be out? Because the surgery like that doesn't usually happen out of blue.
Yeah, I mean, not like 48 hours, really. He obviously came in the last game and played a couple minutes down the end. We were evaluating how to handle it, and ultimately we left it up to the player on the decision. I was telling Peter, I think the silver lining, if there is any in these situations, is I'd rather have it happen early in the season versus August when we're about to make the run. So he should be back for that, which is the good news. But, disappointing, but that's the nature of the beast in our sport, and we've got him for 4 years. So I think this is more about the long term. And would I love to have the player of the month in March out there? Absolutely. But I think for the long haul, this is the right move.
Any other questions from the audience right now? Make sure you raise your hands. Here we go. We have one back here in the white hat.
I've got several questions.
All right, now we're cooking.
Here we go.
I had a drink before I came up here to prep, so I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
They're all related to the fan experience in the stadium.
Yep.
Have you ever been to Starlight Theater?
I have, yep.
You know, they're putting in some big fans to cool things down. It gets hot in Children's Mercy Park in July and August. Is there any thought of, there's a lot of space up above, putting some fans up there, or some misters or something like that?
Okay, have you ever worn a suit to the game, by the way? If you want to talk about hot, wear one of these. We have not thought. We've thought about misters on the plaza. We have not explored the fan or the fans up above. I assume you're talking off the physical roof, right? In terms of into the bowl. My brother's the engineer in the family. I'd have to consult him on the impact of those. But yeah, interesting thought process. Noted. Misters on the plaza. Would that be good or bad? Would we like that idea? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Note to self.
Was that? Did you say you had more, or are we going?
Keep it going.
Yeah, let's.
By the way, I'm not being rude. If I don't make notes, I forget half this stuff. And I know it's being recorded, but I'm old school and I like to write it down. So
I'm jotting some down for you too.
Bear with me as I make my notes here.
Fans to cool the fans is what I wrote down here. So, you know.
All right, my next question is: it's difficult to get a drink in the stadium with ice in it.
Okay.
Got rid of fountain drinks a few years ago. Any thoughts of bringing some iced drinks back?
We've talked about, I think we need to get souvenir cups back as the discussion we've had, which I think would solve your ice problem. It's an interesting question. So part, just so you know, the reason why we made the switch is for speed of service, right? So I think our thought process was if we can, you guys know this, right? You get the pregame and the halftime, just everything is just crushed in our sport, which is unique, right? We don't have the luxury of timeouts and quarter breaks and everything else. So what we try to do is how do we get the lines to move the fastest? The casualty of that was the cups. So it's something we've talked about. Other favors for ice? All in favor of ice, say aye.
Who wants ice and cups at the games? Put your hands up.
Right. There's a heat theme developing over here from these questions. So.
You need to start a groundswell for that.
No, but I guess let me ask you a question back on that one. If we did cups that you could, you know, literally get the ice and then pour into, I assume that solves your problem as well, right? And that I'd have to evaluate that if it helps the speed of service or not, but.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Last one.
Keep it going.
Last one. All right,
Let's
go ahead.
Last one.
Yeah.
What's the real reason why there is no longer Boulevard beer at the stadium?
Oh, man. So. I had my staff over under on when the Boulevard question we could ask at 1.5, so I technically won. Listen, I love Boulevard, first of all. They've been fantastic partners with us. I think their priorities on what they were looking for right now didn't align with what we were looking for as the renewal came up, and unfortunately in our business sometimes those things just don't match up as easy as you'd like them to. And we've got a great partner in Budweiser who, you know, came in and was excited about taking on more, so... I still talk to those guys on a pretty regular basis. I got beers with them in a couple of weeks just to check in. And in our business, things change quickly. But the real reason is simply, you know, business terms. And they just, you know, they had invested heavily elsewhere in town, which I don't fault them for. And it didn't match up with kind of where we were. And ultimately, we'll see where it goes moving forward. But, I have nothing but the utmost respect for Boulevard. They've been a huge part of our brand since we launched. And I would have loved to keep them on board, but you know, the reality of it sometimes is it just doesn't align with, you know, where they're at and where we're at. So,
all right, good. Good questions. We've got...
I said you wouldn't like every answer I had, but I'll give you the real reason. So,
there you go. We've got a Facebook Live question here, and again, keep your questions coming in via Facebook Live. We'll get to as many of those as possible as well. This one comes in from Kevin. He asks, how does Sporting... And this is something we talked about on the morning show today, Jake, as well. How does Sporting Kansas City keep up with the new arms race in MLS with so many good expansion teams investing heavily?
One, I think it's great for the league, first of all. I think if you look at what Atlanta did last year, it blows my mind still with what they've accomplished. I think if you look at L.A., and I don't know how many of you guys watched the game this Sunday night against Seattle, remarkable. And I think that venue may eclipse ours for the best in the league, which it took 8 years to do. But I think those are all fantastic stories for our league as we continue to grow. We don't really look at it as an arms race that we got to spend more. I think we can spend more. The biggest question I get is, you know, why won't we invest in huge, big, you know, DP type guys? And the answer is the owners will. I think if you talk to Peter and his staff, it's really about the right fit. Do you want to be here? And that's a real question we ask. Do you want to be in Kansas City? Not if we pay you more, will you come? The answer is always yes, but do you actually want to be part of what we're trying to build here? And ultimately, if the answer is yes on that and we feel like they're a great fit and it's a $10 million guy, then we'll spend it. I think for us, if you look at the guys we brought in this year that fit well, it's got to be a cohesive unit. And ultimately, you know, we didn't spend huge in the offseason. We added a few key pieces, but ultimately we're last time I checked, we're sitting in first, and that's not a bad place to be, no matter how early in the season you are. So I think we think the arms race is great for the league. Will we get involved at some point? If it's the right fit, yes. But for now, I think we feel our process has worked, and I think it'd be hard to argue that looking at the last decade with Peter at the helm.
All right, let's go to another question from the audience here in the back corner.
With the Felipe news, is there a chance we're watching our Euphoria apps tonight for a last-minute move before midnight?
I don't know about tonight before midnight, but one, I want to send out some respect for bottle service at the table back there. Well played from
nice.
You guys. Listen, I think we feel good about the roster we've got. I think the summer transfer window, we're always looking, so to probably get ahead of a question that will be asked here shortly is, you know, for us, we're always evaluating, right? I think Brian Bliss, our head of player personnel, has been over to Europe a number of times this year already as we kind of look for what that next piece may be. But I don't think you're going to see us be reactive to a guy get hurt and we got to go make a snap decision around it. I think, you know, I can speak for Peter and the guys. They feel very good about the roster we've got, and ultimately Felipe will be back, you know, hopefully in 2 months on the short side. And I think in the midterm we've got some great guys that will step in. So.
Okay, let's go to another Facebook Live question. Make sure you put your hands up here in the audience as well if you have questions so we can get the microphone over to you. We'll come right over here next. This question comes from Garrett on Facebook Live. Any plans for international teams to visit Kansas City in the near future?
So that's a great question. So we've looked at this, and actually this is why I love these things, because I want your feedback. Historically, we've gotten not great feedback on the international games. I think part of it is just timing of who comes over, who they play. There's a tendency that they don't play all their guys for the whole game. So I would love to flip this back to the group. I mean, do you want to see more international games? Do you want to see more friendlies? We're kind of split on what we want to do there. So, yes? Okay. So smaller clubs, not necessarily the you know, we don't need to get the menus of the world. Yeah.
I would assume, though, that part of that, and I think one of the things you're talking about here, Jake, is that there's also that balance for you. If it happens in the middle of the summer, which is usually the off season for the European teams in other countries, does that take away from the end goal for Sporting Kansas City trying to gear up? I mean, I'm assuming a lot of the fans feel like, wait a second, our priority should be on the game that we've got coming up on Saturday instead of a Wednesday night game. I'm curious maybe where the fans feel about that and how you feel about trying to balance that part from the club standpoint.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, right, is do we want to play the guys for another 90 minutes, a game that ultimately, I don't want to say it's meaningless, but in terms of, listen, I would flip it this way, right? If we get to the end of the year, you guys aren't tweeting at me for a loss mid-year to a championship-level club. You're tweeting at, you know, why did you get knocked out of the playoffs, right? So I think part of our factor is how do we allocate that time in terms of how many minutes we play the guys in the summer. But it's interesting. There was more overwhelming response for a game than I thought there would be. So that's good to know.
And if you guys have more comments, make sure you raise your hands. Let us know what your comments are on that. We have somebody over here with a question.
Yeah, I didn't know we were going to bring up fan experience, so since we did, and that page has been open, or that chapter, my question is this. Do you guys reevaluate your fan experience for season ticket holders? Do you talk to other clubs? And one of the main reasons was, like, a couple weeks ago with the bobblehead, I was running late, so I had a friend give me the bobblehead, and then we ended up getting two. Another friend was really late, and he was a season ticket holder. He didn't get one, so I gave him my extra. So for me, like things like that, like perks like that, we should be getting those kind of extra perks. You know, again, we could go on and on about parking. You know, I park, you know, 3/4 of a mile away. And there's little perks like that have been taken away from the season ticket holders. And also the discount at the shop is only 5%. Yep. I don't know. I know, like, Atlanta, I think it's 20% is what one of my friends told me. So some of those things, I don't know if you're going to look at those in the off season.
We look at them all the time. We compare to other clubs. We try to get feedback from you guys on what you like, what you don't like. The bobblehead example, I think, and if this didn't get passed along, then we'll take that as feedback. But ultimately, from a season ticket standpoint, I mean, I think that's an easy email to your rep to just say, hey, I missed out. Can I grab one? We hold some back for season ticket members because we know that happens from time to time. So ultimately, the short answer is yes. Are we going to get it absolutely perfect to exactly what you guys want? Probably not. But I will tell you, every discussion we have is all about, let's start with the season ticket members to make sure they've got kind of the top of the pyramid, and let's filter it down from there. So it's definitely a discussion point. I don't know that we evaluate what other clubs do as much as what we feel like we hear from you guys that we need to implement and what you guys like, and that's probably more important to us than kind of what an Atlanta of the world is doing, per se. But I hear you want 20%, so we'll note that as well. So
we've got a question over here by the bar.
Hi, Jake. Quick question. You were at Derby County 2008-2010.
Yep.
How influential were you in bringing on Johnny Russell?
I mean, I would like to say I played a huge pivotal role, but basically the entire club I was there with is gone from an ownership side. So not massively. I certainly had a little bit, but I can't take a lot of credit for that, unfortunately.
Although you didn't scout Johnny Russell when he was in Scotland at that time?
I had not put eyes on Johnny at that time. Benny was there when I was there, though, for the record. So with all 11 points that we had that year in the Premier League. But you should ask Johnny who the best player in the club is from Derby County. Front office or team-wise. Be curious his answer on that one. So,
you might have an incentive to pick certain people over others, but who knows. We'll get another Facebook Live question before we get to the next one from the audience.
Yep.
This one comes from Ryan, and it is, what is your gut feeling on the U.S. bid to host the World Cup in 2026? Any updates on Kansas City as a potential host city?
It'd be fun to have the World Cup, wouldn't it? I don't know. It's probably a coin flip right now, I would say. I feel like if we get the United bid, which sounds ridiculous, right? At the end of the day, when you're going against Morocco, you would feel like we're the shoe-in with, you know, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. The reality of it is the politics are what they are. So I think if we can secure the United bid, I actually feel pretty bullish about Kansas City being one of the markets that has it. I just think the way that they've laid out their stipulations about how you're going to judge it. You look at some of the cities that have bailed out of there. Really, the Midwest challengers are probably a Cincinnati and a Nashville, and I would take our odds over those guys any day of the week based on what we've built here. I mean, I hope nothing more than that happens. I think it would be just a game changer for the city. It's hard for me to explain to people that if we got that, it would be bigger than a Super Bowl here. It really would be that big. So hard to kind of hedge the bets on. I'd say flip a coin at this point, but certainly we'll be nervous in June when that announcement comes down the pipeline.
Is it just a matter of sitting and waiting now until June? Is there anything else?
It's a hurry up and wait. We got everything in a couple months ago. We've been kind of lobbying and making the rounds, and that's what Carlos is doing from U.S. Soccer right now as he travels around. But it really is just kind of a wait and see until that announcement comes in June.
We got a question here.
Yeah, hey, regarding the international games, have you ever had any talks with the International Champions Cup? Because those are the ones that are bringing, like, you know, Real Madrid versus Liverpool and games like that around. I mean, that's what I'd like to see more than Sporting play a team and both teams not really playing their players.
Yeah, not really. I mean, I would like that as well. The challenge is that's an Arrowhead deal, not a,
right,
you know, Children's Mercy Park deal. So those conversations would be more with the Chiefs. Now, we would be part of those from kind of a soccer standpoint. But, you know, that's really a money grab, if just to simplify it at the end of the day with those guys, is they're really trying to get the biggest venues, the biggest markets. How do we make the most money possible and just cash in? So it's a challenge for us in Kansas City on those games.
Well, and I have one more question. So the team's off to a great start, and I think you guys have added a lot of great players. But my concern is it's a long season. And I think as a Sporting fan, I don't expect to have, like, Toronto and have three guys making $6 million a year, like, you know, Altidore and Javinko and Bradley. But I feel like the kind of recent history of this team is 4 years without a playoff win, without a home playoff game,
yeah,
that if we go into the playoffs again as a team that's just a good team, that if things go right, maybe we'll win, or we could add some players and it could be a favorite, because I feel like we've got such a strong base right now. So what I'd like to know is, are we going to make becoming a favorite a priority, or are we just going to say, yeah, we have a good team, which we do,
yep,
and hopefully things go okay?
No, the first, right? I think a big conversation that Peter and I had and the owners had in the offseason was exactly what you just said, right? It's frustrating for us as much as it is for you that we've had these great runs during the season, and then at the end of the year, for whatever reason, it seems to fall apart. And I think you can talk to Matt when he gets up here. It bothers no one more than it does the players on that side. So our expectation is not to be an okay team that might sneak into the playoffs and get a home game. Our expectation is to win the frickin' cup every year. So we feel pretty strongly about the guys we've added, and we feel pretty strongly that if there's some guys in the summer window that are available, that we're going to go get them, because we feel like we've not done that the last couple of years. So that was a big conversation this offseason. So our mindset is right there where you are.
Okay, this is kind of a follow-up question on Facebook Live as well from Corey. Are there still plans for the club to sign a number 9?
I mean, another over-under on how long that question was going to take to get asked. Yes and no. I think we want to sign the guys that help our team, right? And I would say this. If you look at Kyrie, who's played, you know, he didn't play the first match, which we didn't have a good result on, and until this weekend where we had a questionable call. I know this is broadcast live, so I got to be careful in my league politics here. But we've got results, and we're scoring goals. So just because our number 9 isn't scoring, I would say I don't really care who scores the goals as long as we're getting them. And I think he's been a big part of those goals in terms of, you know, whether it's assisting or being in the right place in the box and distributing or you know, almost screening. So that's not to say we don't feel like that position is important, that we don't need to go get it. But ultimately, as long as we're getting the results and we're getting the goals, which we have, we feel pretty good about that aspect of it. So for us, I think it's about less of who is scoring all the goals. We just want to make sure we're scoring goals. And I think so far this group has demonstrated that they can do that.
Okay, we have time for one or two more questions from the audience here before the players move on. We got one back here.
Okay, cool. So from a different aspect, as a soccer player, how committed are we to, like, the open tryouts? I've been a player who tried out, and, you know, I've made it to the second day, and I've actually gone pro and indoor in Cedar Rapids. I guess the question is how committed are we to recognizing and pursuing players with potential in Kansas City?
Yep. I think pretty committed. I think it's probably more of a USL play at this point than it is a first-team play, but ultimately that's where you're going to get the start, right? Okay. So I think it's challenging if you're going to look at the first team and have open tryouts this day and age. It's just the league has evolved to a point where with the roster size, that's tough to do because of the amount of international guys that we've committed to. But I think that's the huge point of USL is who is out there that we don't know about, that we haven't figured out. And I think we've done those in the past. We'll continue to do those. And ultimately, there's some spots that have been found out of those. So I think we're committed. I think local is extremely important to us, both on the developmental side, the USL side, and ultimately growing those into homegrown guys on the first team. So, yeah, short answer is we're going to keep doing that for sure.
Okay, so, folks, we're going to wrap up the part with Jake Reed here because we want to make sure we have enough time to get the players up here and get all your questions in as well. But I will say this. Jake's got a full drink here. He's going to stick around for a little bit, so if you have questions for him you didn't get a chance to get answered, he'll be here for a little bit to talk to you in person and all that. So you can still come up and do that. So how about a round of applause? Our president and CEO, Jake Reed.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Nice job, man. Again, you can find him. You can come talk to him as we get our players ready to go. I've got some more giveaways for us right now, some prizes from the audience.
Okay.
These are two tickets to the Sporting Kansas City versus Toronto FC, the defending MLS Cup champs.
All right, you heard there from President and CEO Jake Reed. Once again, thanks for listening to the Sporting KC show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That was Jake Reed visiting with Nate Bucati, and some really interesting stuff in there. Heard about perhaps international friendlies, of course, a number 9, new players and the like. Some really interesting stuff in there from the audience questions for Jake Reed, a bunch of fan experience questions. Sounds like some people are hot there in the summer. Can't blame you. Especially those summer day games. Those sure can get hot with the sun beating down on you in the stands. But that was really interesting to hear from Jake Reed and his responses to the fan questions. He took no credit in bringing Johnny Russell over, despite working at Darby County there for a number of years. So that was pretty funny to hear. But we still have Matt Beasler, Johnny Russell, and Daniel Shalloway to take the stage here. I believe they're going to do it all in one go in just a minute or so. Really excited to hear what questions the fans have for this trio of players, the captain, the new star, and the young star as well. Once again, we're coming to you live from the Fan Forum at No Other Pub. If you're within a stone's throw, I would sprint down here and try and get your questions in for those three guys, Daniel Shallowy, Johnny Russell, and Matt Beisler. Just heard from Sporting President and CEO Jake Reed, who might have heard a little bit of applause there. The next round in the building is on Jake Reed. I'm seeing if I can weasel my way into getting one of those. Not sure that I will be covered by that offer for the fans, but still some really interesting stuff coming from Jake Reed and his portion of the fan forum. And now we're ready to hear from a couple players, Matt Beisler, Johnny Russell, and Daniel Shallowy, about to take the stage at No Other Pub at this year's fan forum for Sporting KC.
Have a seat here. All right, so again, we're going to do this the same way. If you have a question for the guys, raise your hand. If it's directed at one specific player, make sure you let them know which person you want to answer the question. We'll do Facebook Live questions as well. I'll get things started with one quick question and get right to you guys. And I'll just make this one simple. Each one of you, if you could tell me one at a time, starting with you, Matt, what are you most excited about when it comes to this year's team? Where you guys are, and maybe what's lie ahead? What makes you most excited about 2018 Sporting Kansas City?
Well, I think our ability to score goals. I think if you look
you guys
at the
like
last,
that?
Yeah, the last couple of years, I think we've had solid teams. We've been good in certain areas, but we've had trouble scoring goals, and ultimately that's where we've come up short. And this year we've added some people, but also some guys that have been here. We've had some more production, and so far it's just been a lot of fun to be a part of this team. I feel like we're exciting to watch, hopefully.
Yeah.
You guys would, yeah. But that was an emphasis that we had talking all preseason, was just to go out and try and be more dynamic, and so far I think we've shown that.
What about you, Daniel?
I mean, we signed Johnny Russell, so I'm so excited. The new guys are awesome, and I think we have a good team. And, I'm just happy that we can win games, and honestly can't wait to get to the end of the season and actually show our fans that we're going to win games in the playoffs, too. So really excited about this season, and very happy so far.
All right. What about you, Johnny?
I'd have to agree with what the guy says. Coming into a team, it's been my first season, so coming in so early, and just I think how exciting we have been, and the way we've been attacking teams and entertaining. So I think for me, that's been the most positive aspect of me coming here as well.
All right, you guys, make sure you raise your hands. We'll get to questions from the audience also for our viewers on Facebook Live. We'll get some Facebook Live questions in as well. We'll go ahead and we've got our microphone back here in the corner first.
Hey, this question's a tie-in with this weekend's game. This weekend's game, last year, Tim Howard said it was the roughest crowd that he's been involved as far as verbal and those kind of insults. So I was just kind of wondering, here's my question. It's like, what has been the roughest or the craziest situation in soccer that you guys have been involved in, be it in another country or that kind of thing, where you're like, holy crud, let me get out of here. And also, this is just a curiosity thing, because one of the things I'd love, if I could have been a soccer player, would be to travel. And I'm just kind of curious how many countries each of you have played the game of football in. My big business trip is St. Louis. So I'm just kind of curious on what you guys think about international play and some of the scariest moments you've had as far as fans and that kind of thing.
All right, so how about you, Matt? Toughest place or craziest situation you've ever been in on the field? How many places have you been?
Yeah, there's been a few. So to answer your last question, I think that's probably one of the perks of being a professional soccer player is getting to travel and see different parts of the country and different parts of the world. And so I think every time you get to see a new city, it's exciting. And the hardest place to play, I have two. I'll try and make it real quick. One of them was away at Costa Rica. It was a World Cup qualifying game, and it was actually the day before the game. And we had practice at the stadium, you know, like you typically do. And the word got out that the U.S. team bus was traveling to the stadium to get their practice in. And I don't know how it got out, but it was maybe over the radio or something. I don't know. But the country, the Costa Rican people, decided to stop driving on the roads. And we were on the highway, and they all just got out of their car and just started hanging out. And it was the worst traffic jam I've ever seen. And we didn't really know what was going on at the time, but we found out later on what they were trying to do. And they were just trying to make us uncomfortable. And we sat on that bus for about an hour and a half, and just sitting there. And finally, I don't know, the government got involved or the police got involved and cleared a path for us to get to the stadium. But it just kind of threw us off a little bit in our schedule. And obviously the day before the game, I mean, you don't want to be spending 3 hours on a bus just sitting there. But I'll always remember that. And then just in general, Mexico. Mexico City is one of the hardest places. It's one of the loudest places I've ever been. Azteca Stadium. I don't know what the capacity is right now, but it's around 90,000 the last time I checked. And the one thing they do, you know, for the national team games is, you know, you take a lot of pride in when your national anthem is being played, and you wanna stand there and represent your country, and you wanna sing, and you wanna, you know, be prideful of that. And they booed the entire anthem. And that was the first time that I had seen that. And my brother was actually texting me after the game and said, "None of you guys were singing the anthem. You know, what were you guys doing?" And my response to him was, "Well, we didn't know the anthem was going on, and because we couldn't hear it. And so as soon as our anthem started, they just started booing." And that's always something I'll remember too. Yeah.
Yeah. Daniel, you played professionally in Hungary last year. Where maybe the most interesting place you played and craziest or toughest atmosphere you've been in?
Yeah, well, I don't have an experience like this yet, so I can't describe that moment. But for me, it's still the toughest to play on turf or something. But yes, for me, a really tough situation was, like, recently, I'd say, is to play my first ever professional game. Like, that was just something what I was really nervous about in the beginning, you know, and it was just situation where I always dreamed about, and once I got there, it was just, you know, I had the butterflies in my stomach. So that one was difficult. I really cannot say.
Does that calm you down when you get that? Is that just, you know?
I should have had Johnny in that situation.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, I'm gonna have a place like this once I play for the Hungarian national team, maybe. But I'm going to skip the toughest place question.
Okay. What about you, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm like Bees. I've been fortunate to play in, you know, a lot of different countries, from youth national teams, international team. And even now, you know, all the away cities we're going to is a new experience for me. I'm getting to experience new cities. So for me, that's a real positive. For here, I think the toughest game, my first year in England, we played Millwall in London.
Millwall!
Can't remember the score at the time. We were winning the game, and our right back played for me. He was on loan at Millwall like the season before, so he started getting a bit of abuse. As the game went on, it got worse and got worse, and then from nowhere, their fans decided to stop the game. So one of their fans ran onto the pitch, tried to hit our manager.
Wow. Tried to tackle their own manager.
No,
your manager.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it started getting worse. And then the referee stopped the game, and we had to take our right back off the field. We had to completely take him off. And after about 20, 25 minutes, it restarted the game. But that was my first experience of, like,
Millwall. So
okay.
If you don't know Millwall, it's a pretty hostile place. So it's
yeah.
That was my first experience of that.
And if you want to hear more stories about that, you'll have to ask our color commentator, Matt Lawrence. You know, he was the captain of Millwall when they went to the FA Cup final and played against Manchester United. He could probably tell some good ones, too. You played at Ibrox, too, for the Rangers, or against the Rangers.
Yeah.
Was that how would that stack up?
Not well for me. I was on the receiving end there, a couple of bad results there. But the area I'm from, you're either Celtic or Rangers.
Yeah.
And it's well known what side that you are. For me, it's Celtic. So the Rangers fans knew that. And then I scored at Ibrox. Didn't help myself, done a Celtic celebration. So from that minute on, it got pretty bad for me. And then we actually played them when I moved to England. Like 2 years later, we played them in a pre-season friendly. And leading up to it, I was getting messages, oh, we don't forget. And I thought, oh, it's a couple of guys. But they were right. There was like 25,000 of them. Booed me every time I touched the ball. Singing songs that I can't really repeat in here. But yeah, it's like I enjoy that. It's part of the game, and it's always something that I've enjoyed.
All right. Let's see. Let's go to a question from Facebook Live. Alan wants to know from all you guys, what's the funniest thing to happen in the locker room this year? This is always...
That's a tough question.
Nothing funny happens in the locker room.
I'll think about it. We can get back to that question.
I can share one thing. So sometimes... A lot of times during the week, we have a very set schedule, and we usually start training at 10 o'clock on the field, and that means at 9:50, Peter comes in to break down what the training's going to look like. And so right around 9:45, we all come around our lockers, and we're sitting there waiting for Peter to come in and address the team. And something that we sometimes like to do is we try and guess the very first word that Peter's going to say. And we take little bets on it, and you know, whether it's hello or good morning or what's up, guys, or whatever he's gonna say.
Okay.
And yeah, okay. That's Daniel's pick. But anyways, I think maybe it was last week, and we got a little carried away with it, and Daniel just started laughing before he started coming in, and Peter just looked at him and just was asking him, "What's so funny?" I think Daniel was a little nervous.
Because it was like five guys who actually guessed the word, and we were all like,
yeah.
It's like, good morning, and then everybody was like,
oh, no.
Yeah.
So did you tell him what the game is, or does he still, is that?
I think we did.
Yeah, we had to, because he just kept asking us why everybody's laughing.
Yeah, that could be awkward. All right, let's go, what do we have here? Back in the booth right here.
Hi. I would like to know, and probably maybe address to Matt at first, are there any initiation rituals for new players? That's my first question.
Yeah.
Can you share those?
Which one do you want? So the very first thing that a new player does is they go through the tunnel. So what the tunnel is it's out on the training field, and everybody that's currently on the team lines up in two rows, and you kind of make like a path for the new player to run through. But the thing is they don't just run through the tunnel. We actually hit them as hard as we can on the back on their way through. And so that's how it started. That was the original initiation, and that's carried over to birthdays and first goals,
hat tricks.
Yeah, hat tricks.
player of the week. Johnny doesn't like that tunnel.
Yeah, Johnny's back is still red from his hat trick.
Is that why Johnny gave up the penalty?
Yeah.
Let everybody else take the penalty.
And then also too, this is more traditional for just soccer in general, but. When you first come to a team, you have to do a performance in front of the group, usually at a team dinner. And you can either tell some jokes, or typically what you see is someone sings a song. And so, I mean, everybody has to do it, but Johnny had to do it this year. You remember your song?
Usher.
What's here?
Yeah. Johnny sang Usher. It was actually pretty nice. I was impressed.
Song by Usher?
You Remind Me.
You Remind Me.
Oh, okay.
It was a Scottish accent.
What did you sing? You remember?
I sang a Hungarian song, so nobody can say anything about it.
Yeah.
All right, good question. What are we over here? All right.
Matt, this one is directed at you. How does training and games differ now that you're the captain and kind of the leader on the team? How does that differ from when you were first out of college and you had just joined the team and were the new player?
It differs a lot. When I was first starting out, I've said this before, but I literally was trying to make the team. I wasn't thinking about tomorrow or the next day or the next week or anything. I was literally just trying to do everything I could to get noticed and to stay on the team. And now it's different. You have more responsibilities, and just your perception of things are different, and you have to pay attention to a lot more things. So you don't just pay attention to your responsibilities and what's going on. You pay attention to, I mean, how guys are warming up, or if there's a new guy, you're paying attention to how quickly he's picking up on certain things. You're paying attention to the goalkeeper and making sure that he's on the same page with everyone. And so, there's a lot more going on, and there's a lot more that you think about.
You might even be giving some of your younger teammates a ride to practice.
Yep. Yep.
You want to tell that story?
Yeah. So, Busio, Gianluca Busio, is he old enough to drive? No.
He's still 15, I think. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not old enough to drive, and actually, me and Seth have been switching off. Seth has been doing it lately, but we pick him up and give him a ride to practice. So it's been enjoyable. It's honestly, it's crazy how young he is, and he makes me feel really old. But, yeah, it's been fun. We try and have as many conversations as possible. Sometimes it's a little tough to get him to open up, but I totally understand. He's riding with a 31-year-old guy, and he's 15. So, I mean, there's going to be some nerves, but I've enjoyed it.
Here's a question on Facebook Live from Angela. This is directed to Johnny Russell, and it's from Chris. This question from Chris, and it is, how would you compare the standard of play in MLS, the quality, to the championship division in England that you just came from?
I've been asked that quite a lot. I know I would never sit and compare leagues. They're both like extremely difficult leagues in their own way. I think for me personally, trying to adapt to just different things, so the travelling, different stages, the heat, it's something that I've never been used to. But to go as far as comparing the leagues, like I would never do that. Both of them, Championship was an extremely difficult league, and I feel the same here. It's been difficult. I think how well we've started though has really helped in that. So. Yeah, I enjoyed my time in England, and I enjoyed my time here as well, so that's all.
We have another one over here.
Yeah, this question is for Danielle and Johnny. I know you guys are not from the United States as well as I am, but what is your favorite thing so far living here in Kansas City, and your least favorite thing so far?
Favorite thing and least favorite thing of Kansas City?
Least favourite has been so far from my family. That's probably been the hardest. I'm used to being away from them, but I just think the time difference as well, you don't get to speak to them as much as well. The best thing is, it's just been something new for me. I felt I was stuck in a little bit of a rut in England, and I feel like since I've came here, I've had a new lease of life. So that's been the most positive thing for me here.
Did you want Daniel to answer that too?
Yeah.
No, okay.
For me, the worst one, I have to agree with Johnny. It's the time difference and how far I am from my family. I mean, you're kind of closer to your family. You have your wife and your kids with you. I don't have anybody, so that's...
I will not compare.
Yes, and that brings me to the other one. The best thing is probably the people, because people in Kansas City are so nice, and this really feels like a second home. So I really have to say, honestly, that this is the best thing here.
We have a question over here. And somebody's got their hand up down in front, too, if we... Turn that microphone on.
We can hear you. Just talk loud.
When's your next bobblehead coming?
Okay, so the question was, there's a lot of bobbleheads coming out these days. When's Johnny's coming? Is that what the question was? Okay.
Hopefully soon. No, that's been a really nice thing, the bobbleheads. It's something that I've not actually seen before at any of the clubs I've been at. So, you know, we've got Bees' one out at the minute, so I'll try and steal one of them.
Okay, we've got a question up here, but we'll go to this one first.
Yeah, my question I think only Matt can answer is, who's your favorite wizard? Mine was Preki, but I'm guessing that Johnny's was probably Mo Johnston, and maybe Daniel's would be Peter Vermes or Carey. But I was wondering, Matt, with your history with being a ball boy for the team and everything, who your favorite wizard was, and what was it like breaking Kerry Zavagnin's record for most minutes ever played for the team?
Favorite wizard is tough to answer. I mean, when I was going to Wizards games as a kid, Preki was in his prime, so it's hard not to say Preki. Especially when you're a young kid, you like to see goals and you like to see assists and highlights. There's one guy that I actually tried to watch as much as I could, and that was Mark Chung at the very beginning, and that's because he was left-footed. When I first came to the game, you know, I don't know how old I was. It was 96, so I was 9 years old, and I didn't know what I was doing. Nobody knew what they were really doing. Soccer was so young and new in this country, and my dad gave me great advice. He said, watch the guy that has the left foot. And so that's what I started doing. And it turned out he actually had one of the best left foot, is that how you say it? Left foot? He was one of the best left-footed players that the league has ever seen. And so I always have a lot of respect. Anytime I see Mark Chung's name like in throwback stuff, I always remember like, that's the guy I used to watch.
We got about 5 more minutes or so. So if we can get that microphone down here, I'll do one Facebook Live question as well. This is for you, Matt, from Angela. Wants to know, which striker is the toughest defender in MLS, and who's the best player you've ever had to defend internationally?
Internationally, I would say I faced Harry Kane 2 summers ago against Tottenham. I was really impressed with him. I only played 30 minutes against him because he came on late as a sub. He's such a handful. Mm-hmm. I also played against Lewandowski for Bayern Munich. Yep. I would say Lewandowski because I got to go a full game against him, and just he's the complete player. He's fast, he's strong, he's smart, he can finish. Actually, both of those guys scored in the game, so that didn't go very well for me. In the league, it's tough. I don't know. It's tough to think about guys. I mean, I'm gonna say Robbie Keane. I know that he's not in the league, but he's always a guy that I usually answer when I get asked that. Just his movement off the ball is just ridiculous. And as a defender, it's always tough when a guy's just buzzing around you and you're looking like behind you in every which way, and it makes you uncomfortable as a defender.
You didn't mention Cristiano Ronaldo. We all see and remember that picture of you standing over him at the World Cup. By the way, I would have that picture plastered across my bedroom if that was me. What was it like going up against him?
I might have that picture in my house. Yeah, nobody knows where it's at, but I might have it framed. It was a gift, though. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. It was, he's, for me, he's top two players in the world. I mean, you can make the argument him or Messi, but anytime you get a chance to go up against a guy like that, you always remember it. And just the way that the game played out, I feel like we got matched up against each other a lot, and that's something that you don't want to do if you're a defender, getting matched up. And I don't know, I'm glad that that cameraman took the picture at the right moment with me standing over him, because I'll always have that memory.
Yeah. Do we have anybody? Okay, here we go. Yeah, right down here.
So I have a couple of questions. The first is for all of you. Growing up, who was your favorite club, and who was your favorite player?
I've already said mine was Celtic. Grown up in Glasgow, and favourite player was Henrik Larsson, who was a Swedish striker at the time. So when I was starting out, he had actually just joined Celtic, so I grew up, you know, through his time there. So for me, I would say him.
For me, it was Thierry Henry and that Arsenal team, 100%. I was always working to finish it like him, with the right foot. Hopefully one day I get it perfectly like he does.
When did you turn your back on Arsenal and become a Real Madrid fan?
Well, no. I'll say I was a Thierry Henry fan before I was an Arsenal fan. And but I always liked Real Madrid, and I was actually super pissed at Thierry Henry that he picked Barcelona, because that was just a bad choice. And yeah, when my Real Madrid bandwagon started when I became a huge Cristiano Ronaldo fan, and he went there. So,
okay. Did you have one more question?
This question's from Matt. After the U.S., after you guys lost in Trinidad, who was the first person to speak in the locker room, and what did they say?
There was nobody that spoke. It was just dead silent. Guys were crying and just looking down at the ground. Honestly, I don't remember everything that well, just because the emotion of the moment. So, I mean, I definitely can't answer that, like, who spoke. There might have been someone that said something, or, I mean, I'm sure Bruce Arena said, you know, like, all right, guys, it's time to leave, or I don't know. I mean, but I just don't remember. It was just very quiet. Yeah.
Matt's actually said that he's wanted to, you know, sit up here for another 5 minutes or so if we have a few more questions. And so basically, Johnny and David, you're in for another 5 minutes too. If we have any other questions, put your hands up real quick before we say goodbye. We've got one right here.
Hey guys, first of all, congratulations on MLS Player of the Week and Goal of the Week. I think that's fantastic. And second of all, this is a question, kind of personal question. My wife's been a fan for 20 years. Back when she was a ball girl for the Wizards, she just had a birthday. So when you walk by, if you can stop and take a picture with her, I would love it. I appreciate that. Thanks, guys. And that's all I have.
All right, birthday picture. That's all we got. We had a hand up down here. A couple of hands up. Okay, we'll go right here, and then we'll get these two, and maybe wrap it up after that.
Hey, I just want to go tactical soccer nerd for a minute. As wingers, it's really easy to pick on the center forward when he's not scoring, but can you talk a little bit about what Shelton does for you to open you up and kind of pick your teammate up a little bit? He's got a little criticism.
Yeah, well, when you're a center forward, people are always going to look at you for goals. But I think when you look at what he gives us, you know, he's so strong. He holds the ball up, so he's always an option. When you're struggling, he's always a pass. He always makes runs for you. I think that the work that he puts in constantly from the first minute, he runs teams into the ground, which allows us the space to then try and create. So I think he's been a huge part of how successful we've been this season. And I'm sure, you know, the goals will come for him. It's just that matter of getting the first one, and once he does that, then I'm sure, you know, the rest will follow, like, rapidly after that.
That's how you can score goals, because he makes his movements. If you just look at Johnny's goal against Chicago,
he made the first post run, and that's what opens up for Johnny. So right now, he doesn't get his chances, so he can't score, but I'm sure he will get his chances, and he will score his goals, because I think everybody's a good player in our team, so everybody's going to prove it.
Matt, there was another moment in the game this weekend against New England where he made a goal-saving tackle on your own six-yard box. I don't know how many number nines in the league we would see tracking all the way back. Did it surprise you when you looked up and saw Kyrie back there helping you guys out defensively in that situation?
Of course. Yeah, of course. But when you watch Kyrie play, that's the type of player he is. I mean, we see him every day in training, the amount of work that he puts in. And you know, one of the things that we talk about from day one is team first. And he's a new guy, and so that concept is new, and that philosophy might be new or whatever, but he exemplifies that, and he showed it in that play. But yeah, when I kind of looked over, I was like, wait, is that Kyrie? But I'm glad he did, because it was a great play.
As a broadcaster, it confused the heck out of me.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure who made the tackle, and then Matt Lawrence pointed out that was Kyrie Shelton all the way back at the six. So pretty good stuff. We got one last one down here. I'm sorry, we have two, this one and that one, then we'll wrap it up.
Just wanted to talk about the new training facility and get your comments on that.
Thoughts on the new training facility?
It's out of this world. So I've been lucky that I've been in some great facilities before, but this one definitely tops all of them. You know, there's things in there that, you know, I still don't know how to use them. but, you know, I think just from the recovery aspect after games, you know, the equipment we've got there to help recover, I think has helped in how we've continued to go out game after game, and, you know, with the energy that we have, I think that's massively down to some of the equipment that we've got there.
Yes, it's great, and we had Swope before that, and I never complained about Swope because he was great for us, but now it's just unbelievable. I think I grew up in an environment in Hungary, like, I have to say Hungary is, like, more poor in like compared to USA, and this is just shocking. Like, when I take pictures, I know I'm not allowed to, but when I send it to my friends, they are just freaking out how cool I am that I'm at this place. So that's why I take the pictures.
You just got fined. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, yeah, most people have seen pictures, and for me,
from Daniel, apparently.
Yeah. For me, it's exciting too, because I've been with the club for a long time, but for me, in some ways, it almost feels like a new team, just because your daily schedule and habits are just completely different. You know, you get into a routine and you do something for so long, and all of a sudden it just completely does a 180. That part's been refreshing for me. You know, I'm driving a completely different direction now. And, I mean, just the little things that you don't ever think about have all been different, but they've been unbelievable.
Yeah. Let's do one last question here.
This one's from Matt Beasler. My question is, what is the biggest difference between the Mexicans clubs that have been winning Champions League and the MLS clubs that have come very, very close, and yet we still haven't been able to just beat them at the last game?
I don't think you can answer that with just one reason. I think there's a number of different factors. I think the first thing that everyone always says is the schedule. So when we're playing Champions League, the MLS teams are at the very start of their season, and the Mexican teams are, I don't want to say halfway through, but they're a good 2 or 3 months into their season. That plays a major factor, and I know sometimes it sounds like an excuse, but it's not an excuse. That's just part of it. It's a major advantage when you look at where your team is at 3 months or 2 months into the season, as opposed to when you're just starting out, and that's something that makes it difficult on MLS clubs. I also think in Mexico, typically each team will have at least 3 or 4 difference makers on their roster. just with the salary cap and the amount of money they're spending. And I think in years past, the MLS has been behind in that aspect. I would say in the past year, especially last year, and then maybe even the year before, we are closing the gap at a very, very high rate. I mean, if you just look at our team this year, we've added a number of pieces that you would probably consider difference makers, and you can see what that's done on the field as far as the guy just making a play or, you know, turning a goal into something that that wasn't there. And so I think we're really close, and I'm really excited to see us participate in Champions League next year. And I can tell you right now, I mean, that's going to be one of our main goals is to win the thing.
First team, first MLS team to win it, Sporting Kansas City, next year. All right, guys, a couple of quick announcements before we wrap things up here. First off, we have our final prize giveaway. This is two tickets to the Sporting Kansas City versus Colorado Rapids game this weekend. These can be redeemed at the front desk as well. Excuse me. Stephen Lee is our winner of the two tickets back there. He'll be there on Saturday, and we want to see you all there on Saturday as well, Cinco de Mayo. It's going to be a big celebration. Obviously, first and foremost, a big Western Conference matchup. We know these matches are six-point swings when you're playing against somebody in your conference, so a chance to really put the hammer down on the Colorado Rapids in this game at 7:30 on Saturday night. Of course, we want you to be there. If you don't have tickets already, sportingkc.com and SeatGeek. Easy to get tickets there. Cinco de Mayo celebration, so in the Toyota Plaza on the west side of the stadium. Food trucks, drink specials, all kinds of stuff. And then the Matt Beasler bobblehead. I mean, come on, you know. 10,000 fans get the Matt Beasler bobblehead as well. You can watch the game on Fox Sports Kansas City as well. Set your DVRs so you can go home and watch the five goals we're going to score. And there's no pressure, guys. I'm just kidding. However awesome the game is going to be, make sure you set your DVR if you're going to be there and watch it on Fox Sports Kansas City as well. And our thanks to everybody that's been watching on Facebook Live tonight and listening on Sports Radio 810 WHB. How about a round of applause for our guys here? They said they'll stick around for a little bit for some pictures and autographs as well. So thank you all for coming. We appreciate it. And thanks to our guys for being here. And we'll see you Saturday night. All right.
All right. As you heard there from Nate, that's wrapping up from the 2018 Sporting Kansas City Fan Forum. We were here live at No Other Pub. Got to hear from President and CEO Jake Reed, as well as three of the players, Matt Beasler, Johnny Russell, and Daniel Shallowy. It was a really fun conversation. Got a bunch of great fan questions answered, and perhaps some things formulating in the minds of Jake Reed and the players. But if you want to check it out, I'm sure that it will be podcasted as well as kept on the Facebook live stream. So if you want to go back and watch what happened here. But thanks for listening to a special edition of the Sporting KC show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. For our producer Charlie and Nate Bucati on the stage, I'm Carter Augustine. Thanks again for listening. And once again, Sporting KC versus Colorado Rapids this Saturday at 7:30 at Children's Mercy Park. Should be a fantastic encounter in the Western Conference of MLS. Of course, these two teams have already matched up once this season, so they know each other well. Sporting Kansas City looking to repeat that 6-0 thrashing of the Vancouver Whitecaps the last time they played at home. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with the Sporting KC show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.